2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. I'll read verse 16, and then you read verse 17, and so on, alright? 2 Peter 1, 16, the Bible says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, where we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Verse 17. "This voice came from heaven, we heard, when we were with Him in the holy mount." Verse 19.
"We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well in the integrity, as unto the light that shines in the dark days, until the day dawn, when the living star arise in your hearts."
Verse 20. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." Verse 21. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake us." Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you love us so much. But Lord, you know that as men, even though you created us perfect, we fell into sin and our thinking became corrupted. But Lord, you love us so much that you said you cannot leave us alone, because the more we live with the corruption, the more our life will be corrupted. So you gave us your word to teach us what to do. And today, Father, we want to extol your word, because we know that in the book of Psalms 138, verse 2, "Lord, you have exalted your word above all your name." And so today, Father, we want to hear from heaven. I pray that you will speak to us in a special way, in a personal way, that God, we will begin to understand why we can trust the word of God. So speak to us, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest today, from visitors to members, from a one who is not a Christian to one who is a Christian for many years. Lord, I pray today the foundation of the Word of God will be established firmly in our hearts. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. 2 Peter chapter 1. I think all of us, most of us read the newspapers, right? I think most of us read the newspapers. I think recently you have found that two of our senior person in the civil service has been asked to leave their post because of some things. Because of some act of impropriety. Okay? And sometimes you wonder, for an educated society like ours, why is it that people fall into sins like that? If they're still under investigation, I'm not making a judgment, but it's interesting that these things are happening. Okay, and recently, for a particular in Haogang also, apparently, if you read the newspapers, there were some rumors also of our dear Haogang person also involved in that kind of impropriety, immorality. Don't know whether it's true. We live in a world today whereby we're just wondering, what standards do we have in terms of our livelihood? We all know that we need to study, we need to have an education. But what does education do to us? What is the basis of the foundation for our lives? In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, I'll just read. The Bible says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine." There will come a time, the Bible says, that people will no longer endure what is the right truth of God. And the Bible says also, they will, after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they will only like to listen, they will only invite teachers, they will tell them what they like to hear. And that's why I think our I always say Baskin Robbins, Anthony Robbins. Okay, Baskin Robbins is the ice cream joint. Anthony Robbins and all these motivational speakers are very widely acclaimed. Even Bill Clinton, all right, you know how much he earns an hour giving a lecture? Close to $100,000, I think, because of his background. What kind of background does he have? Yeah, he was an ex-president of the U.S., but how did he leave office? You know, but these motivational speakers are getting a lot of mind champs, for example. One of the things is try to motivate children to study harder and give them a confidence in life. And so people would like to go to these talks and listen. But you know what God says? There'll come a time that these people will want to only listen to what they want to hear. Things that will only benefit me. And they are prepared to pay a lot of money, right? I think some of these motivational speakers, it's like, I think at one session like 2,000 or I'm not too sure, hundreds of dollars just to attend a guru in something because they want to benefit themselves. But many of them will turn away from what we know that what God has said in the Word. And that's why Paul told Timothy to keep on preaching, because the time will come that many people will not endure sound doctrine. By the way, for your information, the time is now. Many people will not listen to what God has to say. But I'm thankful that our God is he brought you today, and I'm praying that God will help us to open our ears and our hearts to hear what God has to say. But you know what? In the statistics, it's shown 46% of church-going people, don't read their Bible. Sorry, 54% of church-going people don't read their Bibles. In other words, if there's 10 people that come to church today, about 5 to 6 of them don't read their Bibles. Okay? In America, in the Barna Research Group also, it is said that more than 50% of the people, Christians, don't believe the virgin birth of Christ, for example. They don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. Many Christians believe you need to be baptized to be saved. Do you realize if you believe that, you cannot be saved? Did you know that? Because the Bible says it's only by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have salvation. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, many people today do not believe the Bible because nations such as the USA and the UK, they were once missionary sending countries. But today many of them are saying, we need to send missionaries to the US and UK. You realize many of the churches in UK and US, USA, they still have a lot of churches, but many of them are teaching everything else except the Bible. Alright? In the UK, once a mission sending in the 16th century, the Bible is from the UK. The King James Bible. And for the 300 years when the King James Bible came out, there were massive revivals all over the world because they preached God's Word. There was one French man who went to the US in the 1800s. The US was a growing country. It was big. It was influential. And he wanted to find out what was the reason for their greatness. And so he went into the industry. But he realized that no, it wasn't in an industry that the USA had their greatness. Then he went into politics and see whether in politics was it that there was a greatness of US found in the way it was governed. You say it wasn't there. And then he went into the churches and he realized that the greatness of the USA in the 1800s was because the US, they had churches and pulpits aflame with preaching God's word. And because the people knew what God wanted, they lived lives that were godly and were able to influence their friends and people, and the society was upright. You know, the Bible was taught in the US. Do you realize Princeton, Harvard, these big university names today, initially in the 1600s, they were Bible colleges. They were set up to teach people how to preach the Bible. Did you realize that? Princeton and Harvard today are big university names. But when they first started, it started as a Bible, a preacher training college. When Harvard started to slip, that's where Princeton came in. They started Princeton to continue the tradition today, to teach people how to preach the Bible. But today, many people don't want to believe the Bible anymore. Churches no longer teach the Word of God. As it is, because they no longer believe it. Now, unfortunately, some pastors do not believe the Word of God anymore. Many churches in Singapore, you know how I know? Because, yeah, they teach the Bible, but don't practice it. Can I say this? Faith in God's Word means I know what God says and I'm willing to do it. That's genuine faith. If you know the Bible, but don't do it, that's not faith. That's hate knowledge. Does it make sense? It has to be very clear. Genuine faith must come out of a life. I think sometimes fathers in the homes no longer believe and teach God's word anymore. We don't think it's a priority. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 32. This is one verse I started with on Friday. I just want to encourage us to look at it. But in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 45 to 47, You hear what God told Moses to tell the children of Israel? Deuteronomy means the second time the law is given. The first time when it was given, it was broken. Remember in Exodus 32, the people sinned against God, and Moses threw the tablets, all right, the two tables of stone, and God says, I want you to give the law a second time. And Deuteronomy was a time that Moses was going to die. And he's reminding the entire nation of Israel what God said. And this is what he said in verse 45. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a meaningless thing for you. The word vain means meaningless, because it is your life. You know what Moses said? Moses says, fathers, by the way, if you look at the entire trend of the Old Testament, God commands the instructions to the fathers. And God says, fathers, you are to set your hearts on the word of God, that you shall command your children to observe and do what God tells you to do, because it is not a meaningless thing, vain thing, it is your life. The word life there literally means refreshing, abundant life. In other words, God is saying, if you will put your faith in my words and get your children to do them, I'm going to give you abundant life. Now, who in this group here doesn't want an abundant life, a full life, a life that has, I can't say it's going to be problem-free, but at least you have peace when you go through the problems. Now, I think many of us will say, yes, Brother Johnny, I want. You know what God says? You need to set your heart on the words that God has spoken. Even though the world and many churches and people don't believe the word of God, can I say this? We thank the Lord, we can still trust His word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24-25, just listen as I read. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord endureth forever. Whether you believe it or not, God's word will still endure. Amen? Okay? And by the gospel which is preached unto you. Now I want to challenge us today from 2 Peter chapter 1. Why we can trust the word of God today. And I'm praying if you are a child today, that you are going to be influenced by friends in your school. Teenagers, when you go to your homes, to your schools, they're going to teach you a doctrine that is void of God, empty of God. They're not going to teach you what God says. And your colleagues are going to teach you things just do, but don't get caught, etc. That kind of worldly philosophy. The world is not going to tell you what God says. But can I say this? We need to learn to put our foundation on God's word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, why can we trust the word of God? I give you three reasons. Number one, we can trust the word of God because it is more reliable than our personal experience. Let's look at 2 Peter first. In chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 16, Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. The word cunningly devised fables means a story that I brought up, a myth. I didn't concord, I didn't bring up, I didn't make up a story to tell you when I made known unto you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter is saying, I'm telling you this not because I made up a story, a fairy tale. I'm telling you about the second coming of Christ, not because I came up with a fairy tale. But he said this interestingly, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now what was Peter talking about? Eyewitnesses of his majesty. Let's turn to the book of Mark chapter 9. Peter was referring to the transfiguration. Okay? The transfiguration. Mark chapter 9, verses 1. To 10. I'll just go through there because this will be part of the basis for today. Mark chapter 9 verse 1 to 10. We won't go through the whole thing, but basically what happened was the Lord Jesus Christ, after he made known that he was going to die at Calvary, Jesus took Peter, James and John and went up a mountain. The mountain traditionally, apparently some believe is Mount Hebron, another one believe is Mount Tabor. People tend to believe it's Mount Tabor, alright? But when he went there, Jesus went up and he was changed. He was changed. He was transfigured. For the first time in the history of the apostles, they saw Jesus for who he really was. God. The majesty. That's why Peter said, we saw his majesty. Now, the experience was exhilarating because for Peter, it was the first time he saw Jesus as the Son of God, as God himself with a radiance, and he was absolutely overwhelmed. Okay? Now, experiences are good things. Many of us have good experiences, and sometimes when we're in trouble, we will look back at the good experiences. But the question we need to ask is, can they be used as a basis for truth? Can I say this? There are many churches in Singapore today who base the truth on experience. Oh, I experienced this, therefore it must be true. Why is personal experiences not reliable as the basis of truth? Number one, because experience is not truth. An experience is not truth, okay? The word experience comes from the word that we get experiment from. A trial, a test, okay? So what the experience serves to prove is some truth, but it is not truth itself. Does it make sense? It is an experiment that leads to truth, but it is not truth itself. But many people use this, just because I have an experience, therefore it is true. You are saying that experience is the basis for your truth. Does it make sense? Unfortunately, many people go along those lines of thinking. When we do a trial and experiment, we are trying to get to a truth. Okay? But the experiment is not truth itself. The outcome of an experiment may or may not point to the truth. Agree? A test may or may not point to the truth. That's what I was trying to... I'm not a science person. But I did try to find out the difference between a hypothesis, a theory, and a law. Okay? When you have a hypothesis, it's basically someone says something, but you actually have to test it. Does that make sense? And so, if you test it, and the facts doesn't point to this, that means you have to correct your truth, your hypothesis. Does it make sense? Theory, interestingly, can be substantiated with repeated observations under certain conditions, and you get the same result. Okay? A law is something that will happen all the time, like the law of gravity. You drop something, it always falls down. Okay? So there's a tree. But when you do an experiment, it's not truth itself. But unfortunately, many people use that as the basis of truth. Now here, I just want to highlight something. You realize one thing? The miracle of the transfiguration. The disciples actually saw Jesus for who he is. Let me ask you a question. Is that a great miracle? It is. But let me ask you, which is a greater miracle? For the Lord Jesus Christ to be manifested as God himself, or for 33 and a half years, the Godhead was actually clothed in human flesh? Think about that for a while. Because Jesus is God. He is God. So his glory is always there. But to cover it and walk among men for 33 and a half years, I don't know about you, but that is a greater miracle. And the absolute control of the of God over his life, his appetites. But he is God. At that time, it was as if God says, I'm going to lift up everything and show you who Jesus really was. He is God. Alright? So, experience is not truth, number one. Number two, because an experience, listen, this is important, can only be interpreted by the person who experienced the situation. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 5 and 6. Mark 9, 5 and 6. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, because it is good for us to be here, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Okay? And so, how did Peter interpret this situation? He said, Master, it is good for us to be here. what he's saying is, Master, I think it is good for us to establish a headquarters here. That's the interpretation of that passage. It's good for us to establish a headquarters here. Why? Because you are here, and now Moses, representing the law, and Elijah, representing the prophets, we are here. I think in our conquest of Jerusalem, we should set up our base here. Okay? That's what he's trying to think. How did he come to this conclusion? Look at verse 6. You read for yourself and tell me whether it's truth. Verse 6, what did he say? The Bible said, for he wist not. The word wist means he know not. For he know not what to say. For they were so afraid. Now, this conclusion was an emotional response to an experience. And can I say this? I'll show you. Many people in many churches, many people in many situations, when they look at the situation, they respond not spiritually and mentally, they usually respond emotionally. You know why? It is through their eyes. It's visual. And so we need to respond. And so usually it's an emotional response. And then we use the emotional response based on our situation and say, well, this is truth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. We need to be very careful there. You know what? In this particular experience, in John 17:17, visitors, we do have our verses printed out so you can follow along there. John 17:17, the Bible says, sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Why? Thy word is truth. Okay, so that's what experience can only be interpreted by the persons who experience the situation. Number three, because we often interpret an experience based on what we feel at that time. Based on what we feel at that time. If I'm angry, I won't listen to you. If I'm sad, I may listen to you, but my thinking will be skewed because I'm sad. Okay? If I'm happy, everything goes. Right? That's why in human resource teaching, when you want to ask for a pay rise from your boss, you need to know the correct timing. Right? The boss must be happy. Maybe you bring him out for lunch. Not too heavy, otherwise he gets sleepy, he don't think properly. Alright? It must be the correct time. Right? Why? That happens to humans. So what was Peter's condition at this time? Look at Luke, Mark chapter 9 verse 6. I think the verses are there. But Peter said that Mark 9 verse 6, he knew not what to say. Why? They were so afraid. So what was his emotional condition? He was afraid. He was afraid. Would you be afraid if suddenly, I wouldn't say I changed that, Brother Robert changed and become glaring bright. He's like, what happened to you, Brother Robert? And everything starts to be, and would you be afraid if something happened to him? That changed it, or maybe Miguel become like 3 meters tall or something, you know? And I say, what happened to you? The emotional response was fear. Then what was Peter's physical condition at the time? Look at Luke chapter 9 verse 32, the verse is there. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. Now, what happened to them? They were sleepy. They were sleepy. Okay? And what was Peter's spiritual condition at that time? Mark chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising of the dead should mean. They are without understanding. They don't know what is happening. Do you realize the disciples, even though they were with Jesus for 3.5 years, were as blur can be? They were blur. They didn't know. When Jesus said, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, and third day rose again. Don't know what he's talking about. Okay? They were blur. Do you think, therefore, that their experience, no matter how much Peter interpreted it, would have been truth for him? That cannot be a basis. And unfortunately, many of us, when you talk to people, you all, but you know what? I've gone through this before. Can I say this? An experience cannot be a standard test of truth, of what is right and what is wrong. That's why it's so dangerous to use it, especially with Christianity, because you know what are the consequences? Eternal life or eternal death. There must be a standard that we go to. We can trust the Word of God because it is more reliable than our personal experience. And the fourth point under this one, because we often misinterpret an experience. Now what, that was what happened to Peter, Mark chapter 9, verse 5. Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. You know what was he saying? What did Peter do to Jesus at this time? He just saw the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did he say? Let me make a tent for Peter, for Moses, a tent for you, Jesus, and a tent for Elijah. What was he doing? You know what he's doing? He is pulling God down to the level of man. Think about that. This is exactly what many churches do today. God is someone whom, oh, I need to be healed at a certain time. God, make sure it's 7:30 every Friday night. You need to come. We pull God down to the level of man. You know why I say that? Because if you look at what happened after that, in verse 7, immediately after they said that, there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." I don't listen to what you think. And unfortunately, many times we make conclusions based on what we think. You know what God says? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Many people sitting here, perhaps, hopefully not, but many people sitting here are making decisions for your life based on what you think. When was the last time you opened God's Word and said, "God, what is your will? What is your will?" Because Jesus said, you know who is Jesus' brother or sister or father or mother? He that heareth the Word of God and doeth it. If we are truly genuine Christians, we will be seeking God's Word for His will. Okay? We cannot use our previous experience. You know, the older generation tends to come and sit down. Let me explain to you. Based on my experience, you need to do this. But you know what? That's not the basis. Experience cannot be the basis. Peter equated Jesus with Moses and Elijah. God reminded him, "You listen to my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." We need to listen to Him. Do not listen to what you think. Hear Him. Now, who is a Him? The Bible says in John 14 verse 6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth is not a system of belief only. Truth is always in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something we need to be aware of. All right. Number one, we can trust the Word of God because it is more reliable than our personal experience. Does that mean, Brother Johnny, therefore, everything that I experience is not valid? I'm not saying that. God sometimes uses your experience to teach you certain things. I have many times when I go through certain things, God's Word just comes out very quickly and say, "Yeah, that experience, the Bible said this." And then you begin to realize, okay, example, how do I know there's such a thing as spiritual warfare? How do I know? How can I tell you biblically why, if let's say if you want to serve God, for example, and many troubles come to your life, I can tell you that Satan is disrupting you. You know what? I cannot just say without Bible backing. You realize in Daniel chapter 9, when Daniel prayed for certain things, the angel came to Daniel and said, "Look, you prayed for certain things. The answer was already on the way, but the prince of Persia came and intercepted it. I had to fight him to get the answer to you." Alright? Just very quickly, that simply means that Daniel actually, God has already answered that prayer. You know, there's an encouragement. Can I say this? When you are praying for something with all of your heart, and you set your heart to pray, for example, you want a loved one to be saved, for example, and you are praying, do you realize one thing? From the time you pray, God has already answered that. The reason why we don't get the answers immediately sometimes is because there's interference from the devil who doesn't want your loved ones to be saved. Alright? I can tell you, the moment we started fasting and praying as a church on the 9th of January, the amount of things that have happened throughout, maybe as members you may not know, but as pastor, there are a lot of things that are happening. You know what? We need to keep on fasting and praying. And probably this coming week I may want to have a time whereby as church members we have a time whereby we sincerely pray for one another. Many people falling sick. There was a sister who was supposed to come on Tuesday for fellowship to our house, and in the morning she said, "It's coming." By afternoon she said, "I cannot come, I hurt myself." That kind of thing. Alright, and that was an off day, and it's an opportunity for us to be an encouragement to her. And many of these things happen. You know what? It has to be Bible based. It has to be Bible based. Because otherwise I'll be preaching my philosophy. Alright? Number one, we can trust God's word because it's more reliable than our personal experience. Number two, we can trust the word of God because what is said in the Bible has been fulfilled. Alright, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Okay. David, if you need to go out for a while, you can, alright? Just go out for a while. And just calm down first. Alright? Thanks, Joshua. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. After Peter, let's go to, probably in 2 Peter, I need to go back there first. 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says here, in verse number 17, alright, Peter once again said, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory, where there came such a voice to him from excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You know what Peter said? "I saw Christ," in verse 18, "and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain." And so Peter was saying, look, I saw him and I heard God. And that was his majesty. His conclusion in verse 19 is, we have a more sure word of prophecy. I have seen, I have heard, this is my experiences, but I can tell you what, we have a more sure word of prophecy. There was something even more definite. The word more sure there has the idea of something being very stable. Something that is firm, something that is foundational. You know what Peter is saying? I had an experience, but I'm going to show you something that's more foundational, more firm, and more stable, that we can base our faith on. Alright? Because he goes on to say in verse 19, "Whereunto ye do well." The word "do well" means you are in a good position. You will benefit a lot if you take heed to it. So let me just do it again in 2 Peter 1:18. Peter said, "I have an experience. I'm telling you something that's more foundational, more stable, more firm, that it will benefit you." Look at the next one. "Do well that ye take heed, that you will pay attention to." Does it make sense? So in other words, Peter is saying, look, you can have all your experiences in the world, but I'm going to tell you something that you can place your faith 100% on. The Bible. Okay, and that's why he's saying, in fact he goes on to say, "As unto a light that shineth in a dark place." That means the dark place represents this world. The word of God is the light that shineth in this dark world. Some of you have things in your life that no one knows. But when you hear the word of God right now, you have a sense that, God, are you speaking to me? You know why? That is the light of God's word. I don't know about you, but I can tell you many times after the message, people will come up to me and say, "Pastor, you know I have this problem, and you were talking about it just now." I don't know about you, but guess what? God does. God does. And that's why this is the word of God. And we can trust it because God exposes us for who we are so that we can come back to be the kind of person He wants us to be. Okay? And so in 2 Peter chapter 1, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. The day dawning represents until the time Jesus Christ Himself comes back. You know what Peter is saying? You have all your experiences. I'm showing you a more stable foundation that it will benefit you if you pay attention to it. Because this light is going to shine until the time in the dark world that you live in, until the time the Savior comes. I can tell you at this time, the only thing that is light in this world is this word. Oh yeah, some of you may have strong families, and so we thank God for that. But you know, even in crisis times, the strength of a family may crumble. But unless you put your faith in God and in His word, you will not stand. We can trust the word of God. You know, but Brother Johnny, you said you trust God's word. Man, how can we trust God's word? I'll give you this principle. You can trust a person's words by what he does. Agree? You can trust a person's word by what he does or does not do. If a person say A and he does B, can you trust that person? Ethan, can you trust a person when a person says A but he does B? Can you trust a person? But if he trusts C and he does C, can you trust a person? Yes, why? Because he's consistent, right? Can I say this to you? When Moses and Elijah appeared to the Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain, what did they represent? Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. Okay, these are, they came to remind the Lord Jesus Christ that it was time that he had to go to Jerusalem. Let's look at Luke chapter 9:31. I think you have it there. In Luke chapter 9 is another narration of what happened then. Luke said it clearly. Moses and Elijah came and spake of his decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. From the Bible, you can see that the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew didn't mention it, Mark didn't mention it, Luke did. And Luke actually said the conversation between the three. Moses and Elijah say, I'm here to tell you that you're going to Jerusalem and you're going to die there. That's basically the topic of the conversation that Luke mentioned. You realize what? In John chapter 10 verse 18, Jesus said this, no man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself. I have the power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. Jesus was referring to his death and his resurrection. I have the power to lay down my life, I have the power to bring it up again. And then in Matthew 28 and verse 6, notice this. After Jesus said that to the disciples, he went to the cross, he died, right? But in Matthew 28, the Bible says verse 6, the angel, after Jesus had died, 3 days later, the ladies went to the tomb, but they saw that the tomb was empty. Alright? And there was an angel that appeared and said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen. That was exactly what Jesus said. I have the power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again. And then in Matthew 28, you find that that actually happened. Do you think you can trust him? Do you think you can trust Christ? I mean, this is a resurrection from the dead. It's not, say, I'm going to give you a treat. And then next week I'll give you a treat. And all of us can do this. But for someone to say, I can die, but I can raise up from the dead again. In other words, Jesus is telling us, look, nothing is impossible with Him. With God. Let me give you, you know what happened? Everything that the Old Testament Bible said about the coming Messiah, His crucifixion and resurrection has been literally fulfilled. Let me give you a few. In Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, the Bible says, Jesus will be born of a virgin. In Matthew 1 verse 23, Jesus was born of a virgin. Because Mary didn't touch a man, but she was already conceived of the Holy Ghost. In Micah chapter 5 verse 2, Bethlehem was to be the place that Jesus was going to be born. And guess where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. In Matthew chapter 2 verse 6. The Bible says in Psalm 22 verse 18, they parted my vestures and cast lots upon them. What did the soldiers do with the clothing of Jesus? Psalm 22 was written about 900 years before it actually happened. And it exactly happened what Jesus said 900 years earlier. They actually, the Bible says, Matthew 27:35, they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. Then in Psalm 22:16, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. How did Jesus die? They pierced his hands and his feet. Right? And then in Isaiah 53:9, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Do you realize for this to be fulfilled, something has to happen? Jesus died a criminal's death. During those times, criminals, when they die on the cross, was never given a proper burial. The criminal's body will be taken off the cross and they will be thrown to a place just outside of Jerusalem called Gehenna. A place that apparently has been burning for 400 years. A place that they took all the refuse, the dirty things of the kind of like after you eat, you throw away your bones and all that, the waste things, and they throw that to burn their garbage. The criminals, when they died during those times, were not given proper burials. They were actually taken down from the cross and thrown into that place because they're criminals. Jesus could have been thrown there, but you know what? The Bible fulfilled that. This prophecy, he made his grave with the rich. In Matthew 27:57, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, which also himself was Jesus' disciple. A rich man came and told Pilate, look, can I have his body? You mean he died? Yeah, he died. Can I have his body? And this rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, a secret disciple, you know what? There's a learning lesson from there. You know, Joseph of Arimathea, you never heard of him until the death of Christ. In other words, in the ministry of Christ, perhaps some people have guessed that perhaps he was afraid that he would suffer the same fate. But you know what? At the end, when he saw his Savior died for him, he said, I cannot be a secret disciple anymore. And he would boldly go to Pilate and say, give me the body of my Savior. Let me bury him. Let me at least do something for him. Now that he's dead. Can I say this as a Christian? If the death of Jesus Christ does nothing to you to change your life, nothing else will. Nothing else will. If you think as a Christian you can live your life continuously in the way that you're living, sinning, swearing, cursing, doing all kinds of things which is against what God says, and think you're a Christian, the death of Christ have done nothing to change your heart. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God actually gives us a new nature because he knows the old nature is so corrupted, it can never be good again. That's why God gives us a new nature. That's why many of us, even as Christians, struggle. Why? Because we have two dogs fighting, the white dog and the black dog. The black dog is your old nature, the white dog is your new nature. Can I say this? The more you feed, how you will get victory in your life depends on how much you feed the dogs. If you feed the black dog, he will be stronger, right? And so he will win over the white dog. But if you feed the white dog more, and then the black dog will lose. You starve the black dog. Does it make sense? And so Joseph here, just use it as an aside. But Joseph, as a disciple of Christ, you realize Joseph, by what he did, fulfilled the prophecy that Jesus made his grave with the rich. Let me ask you a question. Anyone has a coin? You have a coin? You have a coin? Yeah, anyone? A coin? Yeah, coin? Okay. Now it's my turn to take from him. No. This one will do. 10 cents will do. Okay. There's two sides to a coin, right? Right? Usually in soccer matches, last time I was referee before. So what they do, they throw it on the floor, right? Then heads is one side, tails is one side, right? Now this is okay. Some of you are very interested. We're talking about the mathematical theory of probability. Okay, primary 4 you start learning, right? Is it? I can't remember. But anyway, I learned probability only in sec 2. Now they do it in primary 5 or something. But anyway, what is the probability of this coin turning on the heads? 50%, because there are two possible answers. You can only get one, so it's 50, right? Now, what about a dice? If you throw a dice, thank you, I'll give you back. It's okay. So how many sides are there to a dice? 6 sides, right? So you throw a dice, so the probability is 1/6. Okay, very straightforward, right? Now, can you imagine 330 prophecies being fulfilled in one person's life in one lifetime? In other words, 330 prophecies specifically written and specifically fulfilled in one person's life. Do you know what the probability? It's 1 times 10 to the power of 140 tens. Sure impossibility. But you know what? It happened exactly in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot convince me that Jesus is not God because of the prophecies that He has been fulfilled. Can I say it again? Many things that were stated in the Old Testament about the second coming of Christ is actually being fulfilled right now. Do you realize if you go to Israel today, do you know what they are doing? They are busy trying to set up the Jerusalem temple that they say they are going to be built again. The Bible says in Matthew 24, they are going to start building that temple again. In the book of Revelation, Daniel, it's all mentioned that the Jerusalem people are, now they don't have now at the side of Jerusalem is what? The Dome of the Rock, which is a Muslim. Do you realize in the last days, they are going to set up the Jerusalem temple again? If you go to the internet and just Google Jerusalem temple, you will find the blueprints are ready. At this very moment as I speak, the Levitical priesthood are preparing the garments, the measurements, and they are preparing themselves to once again do the sacrifices that the Old Testament has said. You know why? Because God said it will happen, and it has happened. Do you realize in May 14, 1948, God 2,000 years ago said, I will bring you back. Israel was scattered in AD 70 after the destruction of Jerusalem by Emperor Titus. This is recorded in history. But God said, I will bring you back one day. May 14, 1948, it happened just exactly as God said. God gathered the nation of Israel, and Israel was declared a sovereign nation by the United Nations. You don't tell me the Bible is not true. You can trust the Bible, because everything it says is absolutely 100% accurate. Otherwise, I will give up my faith. I will give up my pastorate. If you can prove the Bible wrong, I will give up everything. Why am I wasting my children's life serving God? Because He is God and He is true. And you need to also give up that because Jesus Christ died for us and He is absolutely true. The Bible is true. The Bible is true. I'm passionate about this, but you know why? Because God's Word is true. It's true. It's true to the very letter. You know what? Can I say this before I leave this point? Let's turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 44. Luke chapter 9, verse 44. Luke chapter 9, verse 44. Jesus actually told the disciples about the fact let this saying, he said, Luke chapter 9, verse 44, let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the hands of men. But you know in verse 45 what happened? But they understood not his sayings. And it was hid from them that they understood it not, perceived it not. And they feared to ask him of that saying. Can I say this? If you don't understand anything, please don't fear to ask. But can I say this in this? Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Yes. Did they understand what was going to happen? No. But when Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem to be crucified, is that truth? Is it going to happen? Yes. Did they understand it? No. What's the lesson? Whether you understand what Brother Johnny is preaching today or not, it is still the truth. But you know what Jesus said? Let this truth sink in. That's what he said. But many times I'm hoping Ambassador Baptist Church will be different. But when we hear God's word, we will leave and say, God, I'm not going to let it sink, but I'm going to put here, I'm going to meditate and slowly let it cool down. We need to let the word of God sink in. When unfortunately our lives are not, you know why our lives are not changed? You know, how do you become a good computer person, for example? You got to study, right? You got to know the theories. You got to practice. You got to go for tutorials. You got to ask questions so that you can make the teachings sink in. And so when you practice your life as a good IT person, and then you understand the philosophies, the theory, and how to actually problem solve. I know we have a lot of IT people from India. Their job is to problem solve, but if they don't understand the basic principles, are they going to be able to problem solve? No. It has to be part and parcel of their system, right? How is it that as Christians we can go through Christian life without knowing the theory? Without knowing the theory. You know why there are many marriages that are broken today? You realize God has the plan for marriage? And the family that follows God's plan will have God's blessings. Will be strong. The children will grow up strong. Unless we follow. Just because the apostles did not understand, nor did they believe the word that Lord Jesus spake, does not make it untrue. Truth may not sink in, but it is still truth. God's word, many people in this world, when I was doing my A-levels, Bible knowledge at A-level, I was reminded by my lecturer, because when I do my assignments, I preach. You know, you have to do this and do that. And I was thrown back and said, sorry, you fail. I said, why? And why, you know, I quoted from Matthew Henry, and because we had actually all these commentaries, and we can refer to them as well. So I quoted. My lecturer actually said this, Johnny, you are a Christian, and she's also a Christian. He said this, please remember your professors who will mark your Cambridge paper at A-levels, they may be professors in the Bible, but they may not be Christians. They may not be Christians, but they are professors in Bible. My eyes popped up. Of course, then after I changed, I managed to get a B. And my tutor was very disappointed. But anyway, but that really opened my eyes. Is it possible that many people know the Bible but they don't practice it? But on the other hand, is it true that many Christians believe the Bible but they don't read it? We need to put our life into the world. That's why at the beginning of the year, I'm going to how to study the Bible. Please come, 9:30. That's advertisement. There are many Christians who do not understand why God has His word for morality. You know, teenagers and young people, if you just follow God's word of morality, know how to dress, know how to talk, don't flirt. You know what? We won't have the problems we have in society today. Many parents, I'm concerned for my daughter. You know why? And I tell my daughter, I'm sorry. She's not allowed to go anywhere without at least her brother following her. And not because I don't trust her. It's what I don't trust the people at large. Every parent who has a daughter will have this fear. You know, as a church, we need to help one another. That's why, I think some of you, you know, as ladies, when they send you back, we go all the way, we make sure you... You know why? It's just for safety. Because this world doesn't have the standards that God has. And we need to learn how to live the life as a family, how to bring up children, how to live the Christian life. Well, many people say, I don't understand. But you know what? If God said so, why don't we just at least try to find out what He says so that we can live it. Point number three, and we'll close. We can trust the Word of God because it's more reliable than our personal experiences. Number two, it has been fulfilled to the very letter. Number three, we can trust the Word of God. I'm going to say this because it is the Word of God. It is His Word. We can trust Him. He has never broke. How many Christians will say God has never abandoned you? God has never abandoned you. Okay? God has never abandoned us. In the deepest of our despair, sometimes some of you cry alone at home. You know who was there? God. Do you realize that the Bible said God keeps your tears in a bottle? In the book of Psalms, even your tears are precious to God. God keeps it in a bottle as if to remind Him of the pain that you go through. Brother David, you control, huh? This is a fulfillment. We can trust the Word of God because it's the Word of God. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20-21. The Bible says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private. The word private means personal. In other words, it's not like Shakespeare that he will have an inspiration that he will write the Bible. That's not what it says. It's not of any personal interpretation. The word interpretation means explanation. In other words, no part of the Bible was given by any person's private explanation, personal explanation. But the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word moved means be born along. These were men who put God first in their lives. Many people who wrote the Bible, of all the 12 apostles, all of them were martyred. Only one managed to escape. He didn't escape. The apostle John, interestingly, was thrown into a big pot of boiling oil to be killed. But he survived. How many of you would think a drumstick will survive in a pot of boiling oil? It will not. It will turn very tasty for us, right? But the apostle John survived. What they did was they put a big pot of oil, they boiled it, and they threw him in. And he survived. How many of you would like to try that? But you know what? He survived, so the emperor said, I cannot stop you from preaching the gospel, and so I'll exile you to the island of Patmos. Thinking that by doing that, he can separate John from influencing the people. And guess what? God used John on the island of Patmos to write the book of Revelation that influenced the world for Christ. Oh, you can stop man, you can't stop God. God has a plan. But you know what? So this holy man was born by the Holy Ghost. The word born means to be brought along. This is in fulfillment to John chapter 16 verse 13. I read that, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall speak here, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And that was what John had. Things to come. You know what? Why can we trust God's word? Let's get down to the very basic. Do you know why you can trust God? Because God does not lie. He just doesn't lie. The first time God speaks even a white lie, purple lie, pink lie, or whatever lie you want, the first time he speaks a lie, he ceases to be God. Because God is truth. There is no darkness in him. That's why you can trust him. Numbers chapter 23 verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said and he should not, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken and shall he not make it good? Whatever God said will come to pass. Whatever God said will come to pass. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 29, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. The word repent means change his mind. Titus chapter 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie. He just cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18, that by two immutable and unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. It is absolutely impossible that our God should lie. You know what? If God cannot lie, and he said he give us his word, so what should we do? I'll give you four things quickly. Number one, in your life, examine what you see, what you hear, and what you understand by the spotlight of God's word. See, Brother Johnny, I don't know, I don't have the skill. I wouldn't come for Sunday Bible Hour. That's what we're going through. How to study the Bible. I mean, even how to actually find out what God says about a certain thing. The Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. When God's word comes into our hearts, it gives us light. Number one, examine what you see, hear, and understand under the spotlight of God's word. Number two, seek to obey the word of God even though we do not understand it, nor do we believe it. You say, huh? Even when I don't believe it, I do it? Well, if you're a genuine Christian, you will. Children, let me speak to you. Children, how many, put up your hand, those who are 12 years and under. 12 years old. Children. Okay. Parents, it's going to be a moment of truth. Okay? Are you ready, children? How many of you do what your parents say because you believe them? Put up your hand. Thank God got one. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? How many of you children will do only because your mommy and daddy tell you to? Number three, how many of you are lying? Let's put it this way. I think as parents, we know sometimes our children do because, okay, lor, no choice, lor, Baba say I do, lor. Actually, I don't want one. Huh? But you know what? If you are willing to do that, it shows you have a mark of respect for your parents. Because obedience don't require explanation. Genuine obedience don't require explanation. You know how I know? Because Abraham, when he was told to go to a far place, went, not knowing where he went. Will you do that? I say, Joshua, come and tell me, Pastor, let's go this place. Go where? Don't know, just go. I say, okay, will you do that? You know what we'll do? We'll say, no, I need to think. Sorry, it's lunchtime. Do I have enough time? Wait, what if you bring me to Tuas? And then what if he ambush me with people and take away all my credit card? You start asking these questions, right? But you know what? Can I say this? You can trust God so much. Or rather, do you trust God so much that He doesn't have to explain to you and you do it? You know what? Children do that to their parents when they're very young. You realize that? Whatever you give them, they'll eat. Even if you put kerosene inside their milk bottle, they'll drink. Of course, it's ignorance, alright? Or maybe they may spit out, okay? Some of them are a bit smarter. But you know what? We need to learn to be obedient. Why do I say that? Let's look at some Bible verse. Brother Johnny, you're speaking your own... the Bible says, John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. Jesus was speaking this to a group of people who don't trust him. He said, well, you go ahead and do it, and then you understand why. I think it's for computer systems. Many times, people will say, forget the manual, just get on and just do it. Of course, it will help if you have some stats, but you know what, as you try, I have to press escape to get back into the mirror or something like this. Because you got to do it. But you know what, many Christians say, no, Brother Johnny, let me understand this first, then I do. No, God says you do it first, then you understand. And can I say this? There is a faster way to learn. Agree? When you do, immediately you learn. You learn very fast. Okay? Seek to obey the Word of God. Number three, apply faith to our hearing of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, believe ye that I'm able to do this? Are you trying to receive something from the Lord as you read God's Word? You know what? Apply faith. Sometimes you may pray this, God, I'm not too sure, but God, because you're God, I'm going to trust you. God will come true. I found Him faithful in my last 30 years of life as a Christian. He has never failed me, and I'm sure many of you, God has never failed you too. But you know what? You need to keep on trusting Him. There will be doubts. Yes, that's human, but you need to learn to apply faith. But notice here, in Mark chapter 9:24, there was a father of a child who cried out with tears, Lord, I believe, help down my unbelief. That's a contradiction. But he knew his need. He knew that he has a heart that has difficulty trusting God. But he said, God, I still want to trust you. Please help me. Please help me. And finally, continue in the word and trust it with your whole heart. John chapter 8, verse 31. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The word continue means what? Continuously on a daily basis, search God's word and obey it. Because Jesus said, if you will continue my word, then are ye my disciples. Indeed, you are my true disciples. And then you know what happens as the outcome, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. We'll finish with this last point. Many of us in our life perhaps have habits, have things in our lives or situations that we have been trapped in, that we cannot seem to break out of. Habits perhaps of, I'll just mention Jerry, laziness for example, not diligent for example, inconsiderate for example, dishonesty for example. We shouldn't be looking at some things on the internet for example. And every time there's no one around, we will be there going onto those things. And we know it's wrong, we want to get out of it, but we can't. You know what God says? Ye will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I have seen God set people free from drugs. Because they just trusted Christ here in our church. I have seen God changing people's lives simply because they put faith in Christ. You know what? Christ can do that for you. If you are here, you're not a Christian, can I say this? Jesus came to forgive your sins, because we're all sinners. And the result of the sin is an eternity in the lake of fire. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you are here today, you're not a Christian. You know what Jesus wants to do? He wants to forgive your sin. He wants to save you, and He wants to bring you to heaven. But we need to confess our sin. We need to repent. In other words, when Jesus saved us from sin, we are saying, God, you are right, I am wrong, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to give up my life and do the right thing. And can I say this? Good works is not going to get you to heaven. Only Jesus can. The Bible says in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus can save us. And unless you have a personal relationship with Him, the Word of God will never be important to you, because it is His Word. This is the written Word. Jesus is the living Word. Do you have God's Word in your life? And I'm praying that every one of us will make God, will know that you can trust this Word. And so if you can trust it, then study it. Alright, come on Friday nights, join FBI, and really get God's Word into your life. Alright, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, and I'm praying, Lord, that you will have your will and way in our lives. And I'm praying, Father, that your Holy Spirit will speak to us in a special way. In this invitation time, Lord, sometimes it might be threatening, but all you are doing is wanting to speak to us. And Father, before we sing a song, the Bible stands. Lord, I pray that thy Holy Spirit will speak to us. With your eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, no one looking around. I just want to ask you one question. Do you trust the Word of God? Do you trust the Word of God? By trusting God's Word means, you say, Brother Johnny, I have been searching God's Word for His will, and every decision I make, I try my best to make Him first by understanding His Word and then applying it. If let's say I get into a situation whereby I've been offended, the Bible says forgive. I will obey God and say I will forgive. Or are you saying, every time there's a situation, I just do what I want, what I think is best in that situation? Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But the Bible teaches us that we need to put our faith in the Word of God. And perhaps as a Christian, you are saying today, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to my heart that I need to consult His Word more. I need to read His Word more so that it can be part of my life. If that's your testimony, just let it be shown by the raising of your right hand. I'll pray for you. Respond to God. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. That hand too. That I'm going to make my decisions based on God's Word. Amen. I see that hand too. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand. You know, it's encouraging. There's teenagers. There's adults. There's married people putting up their hands. You know what? You need God's Word in your life. Is there anyone else? Just put it up and put it down. And then pray in your heart. Say, God, help me. I will make it a part of my life. But Lord, help me. Is there anyone else? Alright, very quickly. If you're here today, you're not a Christian. Say, Brother Johnny, I want to find out more about the Lord Jesus Christ. If He can save me and bring me to heaven, I want to find out more. But you know what? Jesus Christ loves you so much. He died for you even before you knew Him, so that He can actually share this eternal life with you. Is there anyone who says, Brother Johnny, I don't know. If I die right now, I'll be in heaven. I'd like to find out more. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand. I'll pray for you. And I'll get someone to speak to you and share with you. We're not asking for your money. We're not asking for you to join the church. We just want to share with you God's Word, which is the basis of our eternal life. Is there anyone? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. I pray for every Christian who has put up their hand, who has stated in their hearts that they want to make you the foundation of their lives. Father, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to move in that individual's life, whether it's a mom or a dad, whether it's a teenager or an adult. I pray, Father, that their entire lives, Lord, will be governed by God's Word. Lord, today we have heard that our own personal experience, Father, is not as reliable as your Word. And we can trust it because it's 100% fulfilled to the very letter. Father, we are thankful that we have this confidence, but help us to make this our daily confidence. So that no matter whatever happens in life, Lord, we can still learn to trust You in Your Word. So Father, I pray for this who have put up their hands. Give them, Father, from now on, every time they read the Bible, Lord, I'm asking You, Lord, that they will pay attention to the details. And that as the Holy Spirit is the teacher, I pray that You will help them to understand more and more of God's Word, so that they can grow thereby. And Father, for those who have not obeyed God's Word, Lord, I pray You encourage them to take the step of faith, to say, this is God's Word, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to obey it. Lord, thank You for what You're going to do. We commit the rest of the afternoon into Your hands as we are dismissed. And I pray that You bless everyone who has listened intently. And I ask You, Lord, that this week will be the beginning of a change of life as they put in God's Word as the foundation. We'll thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll